Ladies and gentlemen, we will call this meeting to order. This was supposed to be the 1:30, but it looks like about the 1:37 meeting of the Laughlin Town Advisory Board here at the Laughlin Government Center, 101 Civic Way. I'll go ahead and read some items into the record as follows. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order, and the board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to any item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on today's posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners Zoning Commission, otherwise known as the BCC, or the Clark County Planning Commission, PC, for final action. Please take a moment to turn off all cell phones and mute other electronic devices. If you have a private conversation, please take it outside the room today. Within a 48-hour advance request, a sign language interpreter or other reasonable efforts to assist and accommodate persons with physical disabilities may be made available by calling 702-455-3530, TDD at 02-385-7486, or Relay Nevada toll-free at 800-326-6868. Supporting material provided to the board members for this meeting may be requested from our secretary, Tammy Harris, at 702-298-0828. And supporting material is or will be also available at the Clark County Department of Administrative Services, 500 Grand Central Parkway in Las Vegas. Supporting material is or will be available also on Clark County's website at clarkcountynv.gov/LaughlinTAB. And I believe there's also copies at the back of the room for anyone that would like to pick those up. Before you today, you have, I'll do a roll call. Before you today, we have Herm Walker.
Here.
Present. Fred Doten.
Here.
Present. And myself, Kathy Oakes, Chair. We have Kathleen Haas, will not be with us today, and Pamela Walker, no relation to Herm Walker, are not with us today. We do have three members present, so you do have a quorum. Our secretary is Tammy Harris, and she can be reached at 702-298-0828. Her email address is Tammy, T-A-M-M-Y dot Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, at clarkcountynv.gov. And with us today is our county liaison, Mark Moskowitz, and he can also be reached at 702-298-0828 or 702-455-6173. His email address is mark, M-A-R-K, dot Moskowitz, M-O-S-K-O-W-I-T-Z, at clarkcountynv.gov. So if I can please, this has been our call to the call to order. If I can please have you stand for our Pledge of Allegiance. I'll lead.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. And we've already had our roll call. So this next section will be the public comment section of today's meeting. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on today's agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on the agenda item at this time. You'll be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items as they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not on today's agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of today's agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, state your name and address, and please spell your name for the record. Our meetings are recorded and it's easier for our secretary. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of presentation, that will be done by the chair or by a majority vote of the board. So the first item that I have, is there anyone that would like to speak to any items that do pertain to today's agenda? No, seeing none, I'll go ahead and close the public comment for today's agenda. I'll move forward to the approval of the minutes for September 13th, 2022, and I'll combine approval of the agenda of October 11th today to hold, combine, or delete any items. I'll call for a motion.
So move.
I have a motion. Do I have a second? I'll second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Accept today's agenda and approval for September 13th. Our first item under informational items is to receive a report from South County Liaison Mark Moskowitz, and this is for discussion purposes.
Perfect. Thank you, Chair. Just two quick updates. I want to thank Tammy Harris from our office for participating in National Night Out. It was a great turnout with the whole community enjoying it. We had lots of good goodies to give out from Commissioner Knapp's office, so I just want to thank her for tabling for that event. And I want to thank Lieutenant Rogers for letting me participate in Coffee with a Cop last month as well. We had a good dialogue with everyone at Spirit Mountain. So those are my only updates. Thanks.
Okay. Yes, I went to the night out, and it was just packed all the way up to Bruce Woodbury. Everybody was parked. It was a lot of fun. I brought my old Roadrunner and kind of did duel with the train.
Yep.
I got stuck, but yeah, so it was wonderful. Yes.
I would like to just address an issue to Mark, if I may.
Sure.
I would like to have it agendized for the next meeting, and that concerns the deplorable condition of North Reach. And I would also request that the director of the county director who exercises authority and supervision over that area be present at the time. It is a disgrace.
I'm curious, Herm, was this also with the problems that we've encountered with the homeless in that area, camping and stuff? Or what specifically was the issue with the North Reach?
Well, it's overgrown. It's not superintended.
As far as overgrown, as far as weed abatement and that type of stuff, or people?
You can go down the walk and not even observe the, can't see it because they've let the weeds grow up too high.
Okay. So what department would deal with that? Is that Parks and Rec, or is that a maintenance issue?
It's a little complicated. We can work with Parks and Rec, and I can work with Alon as well, but I know Fred is pretty active. There's a group of citizens and a team effort that is, myself included, they're looking at ways to keep the maintenance of that park, so we are aware of it. We are taking steps to figure out who's responsible for all the maintenance. I know it's kind of fallen on the back burner, but by no means does that mean it's not being taken care of, so we will look at all those issues, and we can get a report and stuff like that. Yep.
Yeah, and thank you, Herm, for letting me know. I haven't been out there because of the heat, so you know when I take my dogs and stuff, it's a little.
Well,
too
it's
hot
under
for
the
them.
Supervision and the jurisdiction of the county offices.
Okay.
They're about to assume that for Mountain View Park also, and if they let Mountain View deteriorate the way they've allowed
North Ridge
to deteriorate, it'll be a sad day for Laughlin.
Thank you.
And I don't believe that'll happen. I know we've got a lot of team members that are looking for it. I know I'm working very closely with Fred to figure out a kind of like an action plan to make sure it's taken care of. I know this is the kind of the good time right now because it's getting cooler that we're able to send out staff and services there so they can maintain it before the next season comes around. So.
Thank you. Let's see. Item number two is to receive an awards presentation from Laughlin Rotary to honor a first responder for their dedication and contributions to the Laughlin community. We don't have a. Yep. It's on. That one's on. You can take mine. It's got more cord.
You can use this one.
It's childproof.
For me, yes. Which doesn't take much.
There you go. Thank you very much.
So I'm Jackie. I'm from the Laughlin Rotary Club here, and this is Vince, and he's with the Laughlin Rotary also. This last year, we've been doing our best to coordinate students of the month from our local schools to let them know that they're doing a good job, and we also do first responders of the quarter. And this month, we're providing an award. Let me get my glasses back on. And Eli Job, would you please come up here and hang out with me for a second? Hi, I'm Jackie. Nice to meet you finally. If you turn around, look in the back of the room. Eli Job is a native resident of Laughlin, Nevada, and began volunteering at Big Bend of the Colorado State Recreation Area during the summer of 2009 at the age of 16. In 2011, Eli graduated from Laughlin High School and began college courses at Mojave Community College. While attending college, Eli was hired by Nevada State Parks as a seasonal park aide. In 2013, Eli transferred his college credits to Southern Utah University in Cedarsaw to pursue a bachelor's degree in outdoor recreation in parks and tourism, and to continue his career goal to become a park ranger with Nevada State Parks. While attending college, Eli continued to work for Nevada State Park as a seasonal park aide at Kershaw Ryan State Park in Caliente, Nevada. In May of 2016, Eli graduated from Southern Utah University with his bachelor's degree and was the recipient of the Outdoor Recreation in Parks and Tourism Student of the Year Award. Shortly after his graduation, he was hired as a park ranger at Valley of Fire State Park in Overton, Nevada, one of my favorite places to ride my Harley. Eli graduated from the Nevada Post Academy in 2017 and became commissioned as a Nevada Category 1 Peace Officer. In August of 2020, Eli was promoted to the Park Supervisor at Big Bend of the Colorado State Recreation Area, and at that time he was able to make his return home to Laughlin. Eli has an infinite love for the outdoors and the town of Laughlin. He is a dedicated park ranger that does everything in his power to make Big Bend the best park it can be. He is committed to every aspect of public safety and does all that he can to make a park safe for all to enjoy. Congratulations. Would you like to join us?
Thank you.
definitely congratulations from this office and this board as well.
We
love seeing what can happen with our locals, and especially when we bring exceptional talent back to the community. They think they might be in trouble. Can happen. And we'll go ahead and thank you so much. Yes, thank you. We'll go ahead and move forward to receive a report from Lieutenant Rogers with Metro Police regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns.
Good afternoon, Board. Lieutenant Rogers of Metro, thanks for having me today. Just a quick rundown on our stats, then we'll get to the more exciting information. For the month of September, we handled 273 calls for service, which is actually a significant drop, almost 50 calls less than this time last year, which works out to about 16.5%. As far as traffic citations, for the month we wrote 324 traffic citations. We did not have any DUI arrests, which is good. Four arrests for battery domestic violence, and a total of 20 intakes or 20 bookings at our Tucker Holding facility here in Laughlin. So that's kind of a rundown of our stats. As far as community events, just like Mark said, we are trying to do a coffee with a cop, almost a roadshow once a month, picking different apartment complexes, community centers, anywhere that we can get out into the public without basically holding it here. To make anyone travel. That way we try to increase our footprint in the community with just getting the community involved and getting my officers more involved with community outreach. Our big event was our National Night Out. That's kind of our flagship for the year. The history of it is pretty much almost every police department in the country does it. It's usually in August, but just with the temperatures for Laughlin and Vegas, it is October. It's been that way for many years. This year was a great success. It was probably the biggest we've ever had from everyone I've talked to. It was a lot bigger than the one we ran last year. Long list of people to thank, so I won't do that today, but the big supporter this year, kind of a collaboration, was with Jackie in the chamber, and then we just kind of asked the people that we know and the people that can help and donate, and a lot of people there and a lot of good things, and the food bank had a lot of food for everybody, and Sergeant Briscoe Gino ran a snow cone machine for 2 straight hours, so that might be the hardest he's worked in a few weeks, so it was good. As we move forward, we're looking forward to our trunk or treat. There are a couple different ones. The kind of the bigger one will be at Bennett Elementary, and that'll be the one that we're doing with the school. And it is open to the public, obviously. And then if anybody, like board members yourself, want to, decorate a car and pass out candy, then feel free to let me know and we can reserve a spot for you. It's the same thing of invited the casinos or anybody. Then a lot of the casinos are just donating candy to us, so we'll have a police car there that'll be decorated. So if anybody in the community wants to donate candy, just an unopened bag, they can drop it off here at the substation, just normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. If you see an officer on the street and wave them down and hand them a bag of candy, then we can do that too. Or if you're not able to get out, then give me a call at the station and I'll make sure someone comes by and picks it up. So we do get a lot of donations from the community, which is awesome. So that's kind of what we're looking forward to. And like I said, for November, we're doing turkey baskets. We're not delivering those. Those will be at the food bank, but my officers will help put them together, then help pass them out for November and December. And then we have our other flagship in December, our Shop with a Cop will be coming soon. So we kind of are getting into our busy season for community events. So we appreciate all the citizens' help and just kind of moving forward. So any questions?
If you could let us know the dates that you're going to be compiling, in November and December, going to be compiling the turkey baskets.
Yeah,
for
sure.
The town manager's office, if we want to put that out, or the chamber. If you need more volunteers for that, I don't know how many you like for that.
The because the food bank's not a really big warehouse, they've just asked for 10 volunteers. So it should be, if anyone on the board wants to, we're not soliciting any private citizens to come help.
I see.
So if anyone on the board wants to come, they're more than welcome to. But it should be either people from my office or probably Jackie's from the chamber.
Okay. If you'll just let us know the dates for that, if we're able to attend, we can.
Yeah, for sure. So that will be November 16th at 1 o'clock.
Okay, thank you.
And then the pass out will be the following week. On Monday the 21st. And then if any citizen's not aware, Silver Rider does give free rides to the food bank. So if you are in need of food, and especially on that Monday, the 21st is kind of going to be the big flagship food pass out. If any citizen needs a ride, as long as they can walk to a bus stop that's near their community, and when the bus driver opens the door to say, I need a ride to the food bank, then they're not charged for that ride. So there's a lot of avenues for resources just to make sure people are aware of it.
Great. Thank you.
So cool. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board?
I have a question.
Sure.
Do you get many calls from the air in proximity to the pot farm over here? Is they don't change the filters?
No. So my team has actually gone, like myself and two of my supervisors went over there to do a tour. That way we can understand what's there and logistics and some of the security, you know, concerns that we have from the police side of it. From what I understand, there's probably one of the better farms in the county. And we actually don't get, I mean, our station is actually downwind of it most days, but we don't, you know, because there's really no where it's situated besides the concert arena right there. There's really no housing around it, so we actually don't receive any phone calls. And I can double check with their director of security, but when I took the tour of the facility, he never made any mention of anyone calling, complaining, or anything. It's actually very state of the art.
The reason for asking is that I drive Edison periodically, and from time to time, the air is so polluted that you think you're in a pot lounge.
Yeah, if you're on the road right next to it, probably just with, you know, the winds we have here, just the, you know, filtration, you know, I don't know if that can be unavoided, but that would be something you'd have to check with them. But as far as calls to the police department, we've never received one.
Well, I think the problem is that they haven't changed the filters as frequently as they should.
Okay.
Do we have a call? I believe Randall Black is one of the owners, of the owners of that. I believe town manager at least, you know, has his contact information. It might be just maybe a follow-up with a phone call, because he's been pretty on top of things for, you know,
yeah,
for
I
that
can get
facility.
I can get with Mark after the meeting. I have his number and their director's number, so we can, myself and Mark can collaborate something.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect. All right.
And I would think people at the Riverside RV Park, if there were any calls, but more than likely those would go to the Riverside security, I would think.
Yeah, and I do have some of my officers that live in there full time, and they haven't complained about it. So, I can definitely check with they have security on site in the RV park. I can check with them too.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome. Any other questions?
No? Good. I was just curious. You had 5 juvenile citations. That's a little more than normal for us, isn't it?
Yeah, we just had a couple little issues with juveniles for, it was a small isolated event, and that was kind of the easiest way to handle it.
Okay.
You know, when there's issues. So what happens, there's no school police here. It's actually something I'm trying to meet with Dr. Jesus Jarre, the superintendent, to see if we can get a full-time school police officer here for Laughlin. So anytime there's any disturbance or call at the school, then they call us. Right. So something as simple as like finding marijuana on a child or a battery, 2 kids get into a fight, even though it's a school and kids, the token phrase, boys will be boys, but even though it's a fight, someone can still press charges on somebody. So we've had a couple calls at the school. But yeah, I can't necessarily divulge much more than that.
Yeah, I just don't see that too often.
Yeah, no, we don't. We usually are pretty good. But yeah, we've been really active at the school recently.
Okay. So. Okay. Is that a good thing or...?
I mean, for our standpoint, we would love to have a school police officer here, and so that might be something that the board could help us with. It'll alleviate my officers having to handle calls there. so if we could get a full-time officer. And I think as the school expands, I know they received that big funding bill that's going to put all K through 12 all at the same campus. Mm-hmm. And once that happens, we're going to have, you know, 600 plus kids there, and a campus in Vegas that doesn't have school police with that many kids.
Right. And so, and I believe the school police, at least when I went to school, there was a relationship and an understanding because they dealt with those kids on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of preventative things that could happen that you might not be aware of because you're not on the campus every single day.
Correct. Yeah, just, yeah. Just building that relationship with the students and then just knowing, like anybody else, if you know there's no police officer there, you're more likely to do something you shouldn't. But if you know there's a full-time officer walking the hallway, then, you know, you could, you know, more than likely be a little bit better behaved. So it's something my officers do on their downtime. If we don't have calls, they're not doing traffic enforcement, then they will actually walk the hallways. But like you said, to alleviate the officers to be in the community more, it would be really beneficial to everybody to have at least one school police officer, like a permanent one.
Do we know if there's any prerequisites for that as far as what's required, how many students and stuff typically within Clark County? Do you think currently we would fit those qualifications, or you think in the future when we expand?
So I think we fit them now because we kind of compare, you know, we compare ourselves to others, right? So Logandale has a little bit less of a population of kids, and they have one full-time officer, and then Mesquite, which is a little bit bigger, they have two. So it's one of those things where I think the need is there. It's just a matter of getting the right people involved and budgeting that item and salary to say, hey, you know, Clark County School District is huge. Can we afford, you know, one officer to be full-time in Laughlin? And then it'd probably be the same as either hiring somebody and the logistics of do they commute, do they live here, that kind of thing.
Okay. Mark, would that be something we could discuss with the commissioner?
Yeah, we can definitely discuss it, and I can work with Lieutenant on funding and stuff like that to get those type of options. I know we've had preliminary discussions in the past, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, just say if we get out in front of it now, then maybe if the school district does their fiscal year, like the police department, July 1st is the next fiscal year, so maybe by next July, next school year, we could get that in place. That's kind of my goal right now.
Okay. That's a good goal.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
And I would even add a note. I mean, I know they don't have a dedicated school police officer right now, but Lieutenant Rogers and his team are pretty much there whenever needed. So I mean,
yeah, Sergeant Risco knows most of those kids.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like a...
But he's been here 26 years or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's watched them grow up and knew their parents.
Yep. But the more resources, the better, I know.
Exactly.
So, yep.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Agenda. Okay, moving forward to item number four, receive a report from Sergeant Wayne Dice, Nevada State Police, and I don't believe he's with us today. Item number five is to receive a report from Clark County Fire Department regarding calls for service during the past month and other fire prevention issues. Or that might be something to mention about the overgrowth, too.
Hi, good afternoon. Captain Brady Dobbs from Station 85. Just a little data here. First, Station 76, which is right here next to us, ran in September 177 calls for service. Station 85, which is over in the residential area, ran 90 for a total of 267 calls this September, which brings us for a total for year-to-date responses, 2,519. And approximately 90% of those were EMS calls. Community events, we did the National Night Out last month, and our we'll have some fire engines out for in October. Any questions?
A few.
Okay.
Okay, some of this you may not be prepared to answer, but
okay,
you might
not.
Because you're stationed here.
Uh-huh.
So there was discussion about having both
yes.
option and personal jet skis or
right.
personal watercraft for the department. And then in addition, the other question I would ask when it comes to fire prevention, our board member, Herm Walker, had brought up about overgrowth at the North Reach. Would that be something with weed abatement or controlled burn or something that you would deal with? So it's a question just to update on the watercraft and additions to our community, and then if that would maybe fall under that as well.
Okay. So from what I know about the watercraft, right now with the personal rescue watercraft, we do have two jet skis. They are at the training center in Las Vegas. They're at the mechanic shop. So they're being outfitted with some more details as far as being able to respond on the river. I can't go into detail as far as what they're putting on them, but they should be coming. I don't have a time frame. We were just talking about it today. I would guesstimate in the spring.
I think they said January they would be, the retrofitting would be done.
Okay.
And by next season, which would be probably April, May.
Right. And so somewhere in that timeline, hopefully for this next summer, we'll be all, because we need to receive the training as well, and they need to be outfitted correctly. So this January, after January, around that time, before the summer starts, optimistically.
And was there additional personnel allocated for those positions?
Or no,
just
there was
from
not.
Our current personnel?
Just current personnel.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they have the boat, a new boat, being built right now. And I don't have a time frame on that.
Okay.
For 76.
All right. And then the possible weed abatement or control burn in that. Is that
now, where
that
is
you,
it? Where is
at?
It at exactly?
Perm? I believe the trailhead in the north reach.
Like around Big Bend?
No.
Or
north, near up near the dam?
Near the dam. I wouldn't know. No.
Okay.
And it wouldn't be us. So
it wouldn't be.
It would not be us. Yeah, we wouldn't do that. If it's some kind of controlled burn, it's going to be BLM, some of the wildland firefighter folks. So I'm not exactly sure who operates in that area.
Okay.
But you know, I can ask some questions as well, just like the officer said.
Yeah, and if you maybe coordinate with...
Sure, we can coordinate because we need that as well.
Right.
We were actually coordinating with the parks folks as far as some weed abatement and some stuff because we do some training at Big Bend. So we've had some conversations with them, and they actually do it over there in the parks. But
right.
Over on the north side, I wouldn't know, so...
Okay.
And like I said, we'll talk with Parks and Rec and figure out who it goes to and how it's contracted out and all that other stuff.
I'm sure they have the answers. It's just something we haven't looked into.
Yep. And I think a lot of it, too, is like the season is now getting cooler and it's easier to send out more crews and the overgrowth is starting to slow down because it's not the summertime.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And receive a report, item number 6, receive a report from Will Smith with Clark County Water Reclamation regarding status of the wastewater. And we don't have him here today, but I believe there is a report at the back, okay, if anyone would like that. And receive a report from Jason Bailey with Big Bend Water District regarding the status of our water system.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Jason Bailey with the Big Bend Water District with our monthly report. For the month of September, over 290 acre feet diverted from the river. That's for year to date, that's 2,419 acre feet. It's kind of on par with the same as last year, the same time frame. The system is in good shape. There's no major leaks or issues to report at this time. Last month, I had sent a report about the capital improvements that have been made since the rate increase in 2018, and Chair Oaks asked about some grant funding, a report on that. So I just wanted to give a quick report on the grant funding that we have received since 2018. In total, Big Bend Water District has been awarded $4.5 million. So just to kind of break that up, about $1.3 million of that was for the riverbank filtration well, and then $1.5 million was for phase one, what we call phase one, and that's some upgrades to the treatment facility, storage, some HVAC upgrades, things like that, and then about $1.7 million recently, and that will be used for some SCADA upgrades, some more storage, pumping station upgrades, electrical upgrades, some chemical feed systems, and so these are all state fundings. Either they're called capital improvement grants, which is different, of course, from the capital improvements that we make with the rate revenues, or they're called the principal forgiveness loans, which is free money. It's not a loan that we have to pay back, but those are from all state funding, so grants. And our grant management team is constantly working to see what other funding is available for the district.
Okay. And then just to kind of reiterate for people. So our total year to date in September is 2,419 acre feet diversions of our allocation is 15,000 acre feet.
About 15,500.
Because sometimes you hear, oh, we don't have any water, you know, and so I just kind of wanted to put that out.
Yeah.
And then for those that remember when we had the boil water notice going back, what was that, 2015?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what the $1.3 million allocation for the river well was done, so that we don't have any turbidity in the water.
Correct. So if we need to pull from that well to provide water, we can do that.
If we get turbidity into our system,
correct,
so that we can pull and divert from that well.
Correct.
So that was a great solution. So we don't have that problem again. Okay. All right. Any questions of the board? No. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And receive a report from Mike Jackson, Executive Director of Southern Nevada Transit Coalition. So he has a lot to tell us today. Very busy.
Hi, Mike Jackson, Southern Nevada Transit Coalition. Yeah, I'm wearing my shop clothes today. We're definitely staying busy over there. Talk about ridership first. We're staying steady increase, but kind of just staying steady. We're anywhere between 16,000 to 18, but you'll see in July we dipped to 13, but that was actually a software update that we lost some ridership during that process. But we continue to do our best to try to increase ridership, because the more ridership that we have, the more money that the state of Nevada can get for public transit. It's not about fare box. It's all about ridership. On the paratransit and the Vegas Express, we got increases there from the previous year. Things are definitely going better there.
Right.
And like I say, we just keep on keeping on with outreach and different events and partnering with all the community and doing what we do. On our general updates, we have our second annual rodeo, R-O-A-D-E-O. What that is, we have an employee appreciation picnic, and so we try to get all of our employees from all three sites to join us here in Laughlin, and we have a picnic at the site, and at the picnic we do a driving competition with the buses, and they call it a rodeo. And so we set up cones and an obstacle course, and this is something that I had been involved in many years ago, and it's done on a national level. There's competitions throughout all the big transit MPOs, and the winners go to the national rodeo events. So I'm kind of doing this and starting this off because all the little grantees don't do it, and I even have a couple grantees in the state that are attending it. And eventually I'll be inviting all the different grantees in the rural areas to go ahead and attend. And then eventually I've been working on a Transit Association for Nevada. Nevada does not have a transit association. There's only three states in the United States that do not have a transit association, and we're one of them. So I've been working with NDOT on that. We got some grants put out and kind of collaborating with some other grantees, and we're going after it. And basically a transit association is there to assist all the public transit providers in the state. But the biggest part is going after local funds, because FTA is federal funds and you are required to have match. We are very, very, very fortunate that we have our big brother, RTC. And RTC helps us, and they are our match provider. But all the other grantees in the state don't have that luxury. And so it's very difficult for them to come up for match. So this Transit Association will play a very key role for the state. They'll be able to help all the different transit providers in the state, and they'll basically be the hub of information, and then they can take over the rodeo eventually. But I'm kind of starting it, and it's kind of, it'll tie in. So, but it's a pretty fun event. It's not open to the public, but it is definitely open to all of our partners. You guys are invited as well. It's October 15th. The event starts, our competition, because last time we had it, which was pre-COVID, the competition ran long. So we're going to start it early at 8 o'clock, but the event, it actually starts at 10. And the competition, there is professional, which you must be a driver to compete in that, non-CDL and CDL. Then we have an open class to where I'm not a professional driver, but I go ahead and I compete in the open class. And so there'll be an open class for the non-CDL buses and an open class for CDL. So those who attend, we do have the second in command, Francis from the RTC, is going to be attending. I believe Mark's going to be attending. I invited Susie Lee, and of course Commissioner Knapp. Commissioner Knapp has pre-arrangements. So there'll be some people there. NDOT's invited. So not really sure on who's going to attend, but I have I do have the knowledge that some good people from the RTC will be there. It was very successful the first annual, and everyone hounded me to do it again. But with the COVID situation, I just kept putting it off, and I think it's time for it to come back. Great. Another good news. So the two other buses that we had on order, I went and inspected them in August, did my inspection, did my write-ups, had them repair them. And of course, there's been plenty of delays because of supply shortfalls and all of that. But the people at New Flyer take good care of us. We kind of jumped in line a little bit, and they found some parts that we needed. Unfortunately, some other buses didn't get those parts, but our buses did. And our buses are now delivered. So we have them in our possession. We finished our acceptance inspection last week. We're getting ready to put decals on them, and we're going to get them out in service. I'm not going to wait to paint them to put them into service. There is no sense in them sitting, because a paint job is a high task job. And when we're doing these paint jobs, we're doing it on top of maintaining the vehicles. And keeping the buses on the road are more important than a paint job. So the paint jobs tend to take a while. So as you see, there's a couple of them out there painted. There's one out there that's white. You're going to see a couple more white ones. And we will pull them off of the road, down one, paint it, it'll go out. We'll pull another one. But in the meantime, we'll have our new vehicles out there that are getting amazing fuel mileage compared to our old ones. And these ones that I just got, and I know that there was some press releases on the new buses, and they kind of had it a little bit wrong. These two that are now in our possession that are going to go into service in the next couple weeks are the ones that will geofence when they go into the residential area and go full electric. I've already tested them. They work fantastic. Not only do they do that, but they also, when they come up to a bus stop and the driver's loading the ADA passenger, the engine's shut off. And I never was a fan on that on regular vehicles, because I always thought that increased wear and tear. The nice thing about this on the buses, when they go to take off, it's not like the engine starts and you go. It takes off with the electric power, and then the engine starts up as they're going down the road. So it's pretty nice design. On the last three that we got, we're getting around 8 miles per gallon on a 40-foot bus. The normal fuel mileage for a 40-foot bus is between 3 and 4. Wow. So we're doing really good. I expect these to get close to 10. Which puts these 40-foot buses in having better fuel mileage than the small buses. So it's working. And of course, we use the most fuel on fixed route. Those buses are going all the time. So we're already seeing a major savings, and it's good to see, because with these fuel prices, by all rights, it could have hurt us really bad.
Out of curiosity, just because of the longevity of these buses, do we have statistics on how long they think the batteries and everything will?
They say 6 years, but I've gone way surpassed that. They need to make money, so they're going to say, preventively, you should change them at 6 years.
Right.
And $30,000 later, you know, changing it when it's still good. And so I kept running them and them for $800,000.
Okay.
You know, so I'm the type that I'm just going to run it until I need
to
change it.
The wheels come off. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the buses that were parking, I didn't hit the million mile mark, but I was very close. So my record's 1.3 million on a bus. So,
wow.
Yeah. So that's it on those buses. So like I say, they'll be out there in the next couple weeks. And I think that the residential area will appreciate the fact that they're going through there nice and quiet. I will definitely be putting one of the new ones on the graveyard shift. That's most important. The bus transfers that we've been working with Bullhead Area Transit is working very well.
Yeah, I see the numbers.
Just all kinds of excitement with the public, and you know, the main thing I hear all the time is, why wasn't this done a long time ago, you know? And I don't know, you know, I thought about it and we did it. So it's rolling well. It's not going to go away. Bullhead Area Transit's ridership's increasing as ours is as well. So it's nice to have that partnership. In the future, as the new bridge gets completed, I will look into having our buses meet together. And by all rights, our bus going over to the boat dock, the Arizona side, will be the answer, and it will make the transfers a lot easier. But I will not do that until this bridge has a little less congestion, because it would be a nightmare to keep our buses on schedule. So we'll see how it goes with the new bridge and if that takes some of the load off of this bridge on the traffic. And then there'll be, of course, grant issues for that 3 mile that we're going to drive on the Arizona side, so I got to see if there's some kind of variance I can work through. We had our annual bowling tournament in June. I was a little nervous, you know, we had put that off as well throughout the COVID situation, and I was a little worried on the turnout. We filled up that bowling alley. Every lane was full. It was a great event again. We exceeded our revenues. We normally will end up making around $4,000 on that fundraiser, which really helps in transporting. I don't know if you guys know that we do give free transportation for medical purposes on our paratransit, and so that's where it kind of helps pay for that. Meals on Wheels program, got quite a decline in clients on that. Various reasons, of course, COVID is part of it. We're trying to create some outreach for that and make sure that the people out there know that this program is available. At the same time, there's some other organizations that are kind of doing similar, and it's like mail order food. And so I'm going to be meeting with the state and discussing some duplication of services. From what I understand, the seniors, the homebound seniors, actually like the other food better than ours. And so that's part of the reason why there's a dip. And I don't like duplication of service. And so we took on Meals on Wheels because the state asked us to. And it was way back when the Spirit Mountain situation and all that shut down and all, we took it over because the community needed it for public transportation. If there's duplication of service and I can make sure that the homebound seniors are being taken care of and taken care of well, the program may change. So we'll just have to see how the upcoming meeting goes. Main thing is if they're getting, what I don't like about the mail order food compared to our services, we're actually performing well checks at the same time. And that's very important. You know, I think it was brought up in a past meeting that there was one of our clients had a bunch of food that wasn't put away and he needed help and we didn't know. And that was because the COVID wasn't allowing us to go inside. So we had that lifted, so we were able to go inside and put their food away. No safety and security issues the last two quarters. That's all I got. Any questions?
Any questions from the board?
Her?
You have to go. Okay. 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 All right. Okay, so we do have a, with you, Mr. Jackson, it's been discussion only, but we are going, one of our members has an engagement that he has to attend, so he will be leaving, and at that point, we no longer have a quorum, so we will need to adjourn the meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you. We'll go ahead and adjourn today's meeting. Thank you.